October 25th, 2009, you're listening to the TFormers.com podcast. TFormers.com podcast. I'm your host, Iron High 1975, and I'm joined by Z Piper.
Aww. I had this whole big thing ready. You know, it's just like, today I have transformed into a professional podcast host, free of bitterness and full of love in his heart. And then you're like, really? I'm like, ah, it's total BS.
Oh, that'd be so nice.
You know, if only that had happened. Oh.
Yes, if only we wouldn't be such cantankerous old men complaining about everything. So obviously, I got the Transformers DVD this week. I got the Bumblebee DVD. So, and as I'm watching the special commentary, I jot down some notes to share with you and whatnot.
Really?
So yeah, there's a scene where Michael Bay says, so this is a part where the joke where the scrotum is, and if you could have like two dangling wrecking balls here, that'd be funny. And I'm just like, great.
That really was his comment. I mean, we kind of knew that.
No,
that's...
they had it on tape. I'm like, oh my God, this guy's a kid. He's not mature at all. I'm like, that'll be funny. I'm like, oh my God. So let's see what else, some thoughts. They talk a lot about concepts, but quite honestly, they had too many concepts, I thought, which was, I mean, don't get me wrong. So I watched the parts of the movie again, and even, you know, my roommate Sean, he watched some parts as well. And it's still a good movie. I really do think it is not as bad as a movie as people think. And it really bugs me that people are being so harsh on this movie when it really, in my opinion, has no reason to be harsh, you know. And loving you, Ender, aside, you know, this is, you know, I disagree with that. That's the most worst movie ever made and stuff.
Oh, no, I don't think we said that. And I mean, we don't need to turn it into another, you know,
critical
Bayism. But no, I think our issues was that, you know, it obviously is a property that we dearly love.
Right.
And the overall story, even though, yes, as Ender has commented, has been from one of the more obscure vault areas of the Transformers lore, it definitely had potential. But it's just kind of like, wow, that party the other night was great, if not for those two idiots that showed up and, you know, puked on the sofa and, you know, broke the TV. You know, that's kind of how I feel about this movie. I mean, seriously, if you removed Skids and Mudflap and a few choice scenes like the aforementioned Wrecking Ball scrotum, I think my opinion would be significantly higher of this movie, but I was so irritated by those other aspects that I admit it did influence the rest of my opinion for the movie, despite how awesome some of the scenes and other things were.
Right, and I think it's a matter of just how much you let things like that bother you. I don't let things like that bother me so much because, you know, I'm more of a glass half, you know, half full type of guy.
Oh, but, no, I like carrying that dead albatross around my neck.
Well, anyhow, some other thoughts I had is, let's see, RC was supposed to combine, and that was even talked about. The one guy was talking about it. It was obviously, I think they did his interview before the final movie came out. One of the things that they sort of played off was supposedly the phone was supposed to be like Judas. You know, like the betrayer from the Bible.
Sure.
Wanted to focus on... Now, this is the part where I'm trying to type on my iPhone. I put, wanted to focus on Wong cars.
Long cars?
Wong cars. I'm not sure what I was trying to say.
Wong cars?
Wong cars. Wrong cars. So basically, yeah, they focused on the wrong cars, in my opinion. And then I swear to God, Orsi Kurtzman, if they don't give an interview where both of them don't look high, I swear to God, it'd be a miracle. Because both of them just sit there like, writing. I mean, they'll occasionally give some great pointed details. Like, we wanted this to be sort of like a coming of age story for Sam. And then, you know, this challenge and the SSC of Optimus Prime. And then how we, you know, they explain how they wanted Optimus Prime to sort of die. But then we're going to bring it back. And, you know, they were going to deal with that whole thing in this movie and stuff. So it seems like Orsi Kurtzman had some great ideas. It's just, once again, you put it through the Michael Bay filter, and Michael Bay wants to put in his child humor here and there because he thinks he wants to appease to everybody. And anyhow, and so we've regurgitated that several times, but a lot of it was, I mean, some of this, really, quite honestly, I was disappointed by the extra features. A lot of it was, oh, this was a great place we traveled to. Oh, this was a beautiful place we traveled to. We got to go there and act in the hot but desert sun, and we constructed stuff, you know, all this stuff of, you know, oh, Michael Bay's friends with the military, and the military gave us unprecedented access, da-da-da-da. And I'm just like, yeah, I tell you, you said this in the last movie. You know, there's nothing new here. Big whoop. So, now I do give him credit because he actually will stop and ask the military people who star in this movie, well, how would you do this, and how would you sort of conduct this and stuff? So he actually has an interest in how they do things for real, and the military wanted to make very sure that when Maddox and his crew went rogue, there was a logical reasoning for them dropping the guy out of the plane. So I give him credit for that, but I don't know. I think it was still a good movie. Special effects on the extra features on the DVD really weren't anything to write home about.
Talking the ILM forest scene shots.
Forest scene shots were great, and I was finally able to figure out where Sam is, because all of a sudden, you know, Sam's inside of Optimus, and then Megatron comes barreling through, and they transform in mid-range. And we never, you know, all of a sudden Sam's on the ground. Well, if you actually go frame by frame, you realize as Optimus is transforming, he has Sam in his hands. And he sort of, as he lands on the ground, he sort of drops him there while he's rolling with Megatron, which you really can't see unless you have a stop by frame action sequence. But that answered that question. The forest scenes, once again, look great. I went through that in slow motion. They really got the weight down on the characters. I mean, the fact that these characters in the computer animation, they look, you know, they'll show you like the little the animatics for just getting the idea of what they want to do, done by, like, you know, junior grade animator. And then you see the finished product, and you sort of see, how far computer animation has come in terms of, you can't believe how much weight and how realistic these characters look like. And then you could see, well, if we tried to do this 10 years ago, it would look like the animatics, which you sort of see on it, you know, they use for just general ideas. A couple things changed from the animatics to the, I think that's the right term, animatics.
That is a correct term, yes.
Okay. To finished product, which I sort of went, oh, that would have been cool to do if they actually, because you saw maybe a little more fight scene with, what's it called? Sideways and, so who's the guy that came in and cut the guy in half? I'm doing a brain fart.
Sideswipe
and Sideways, yeah. So you saw a little bit more of an battle scene with them. But anyhow, I'm rambling on, and the point is that it's great if you want to have a copy of the DVD. I'll tell you one more quick story. When I went to go pick it up, I was sitting there in the Target store, and this mom was there with her son, and she was trying to decide which one of these five versions of the DVD. I'm like, oh, well, let me help you. You see, first of all, your question is, do you want a Blu-ray? No, you don't want a Blu-ray. Okay, do you care anything about 5 hours of Michael Bay telling how great he is? Okay, then you just want to get this copy of the movie. And with that extra $10 without the special effects, you could buy the original movie. So I actually, it was sort of nice to actually be there and be able to explain to her. I'm like, oh, no, there are five different versions in each of the stores, trust me.
And then she went home, and she's like, and there was this really helpful geeky child molester who
That's what I was worried about. I'm like, honestly, I'm just trying to be helpful and whatnot. So I even told her, you know, has your son seen this? It's kind of violent. And she's like, oh, yeah, we saw it before. Okay, just give me the heads up. So I was trying to be the, you know, the polite Oh, what's the term of the guy that travels on the side of the road that helps his Samaritan, good Samaritan for the day?
Geeky child molester?
No. Don't say that. So it was great because it was like she was like, "Well, B, do we want the special effects?" And the kid was just like, "No, just get the one without the regular." And the kid was actually being price conscious. He's like, "I'll get the cheap one." And she's like, "No, well, what about the special effects, dear?" And so we went through. We spent 15 minutes explaining to her the difference between the DVDs. And wow. Then there was a guy that was behind me that was sort of looking at us, just sort of smiling. And I'm like, "No, trust me, I've investigated this whole thing." So it was a nice little moment where I could, you know, offer some help to somebody in the world. So
that you're truly a good egg, Noonan.
You're a good man, Charlie Brown. Yeah, but I'm bald at 5.
Yeah.
I have cancer.
Good grief.
You've been stuck in my house this whole time? All right. So, speaking of stuff in the movie, why don't you tell us about the first story and why you do that? I'm reading it slowly because I have to go get a drink of water. So,
all right. We have R2-D2, the Revenge of the Fallen appearance confirmed? So, if you've been hiding under a rock and didn't know, the Transformers Revenge of the Fallen DVDs are out today, which, of course, we just got done talking about ad nauseum. And along with their release will come we've got a little nugget of truthfulness that the folks at the TFLAMB may very well have spotted one. But we've got it's a report of an image they posted showing R2-D2, possibly R2-D2, as an appearance in Revenge of the Fallen. So a so-called report leaked in June of last summer suggested Luke Skywalker's robot droid from Star Wars would make an appearance in the film. And according to a still from the movie, one can discern what could arguably be a droid flying through the air as a chunk of debris. So, you know, looking at it, yeah, it's got the basic general shape, you know, kind of like you're seeing R2-D2 kind of from the bottom, kind of turned at a three-quarter angle. Yes, you can see it, but I don't know. I guess it just kind of falls under the, at least for me, under the realm of, yeah, that's kind of interesting, but nothing I'd really spend 10 minutes, you know, hitting the frame advance through just to try to find. It's a little too small for my taste. I realize they can't do it too ham-fisted, but it looks like a flying R2-D2 to me, so y'all can decide for yourself when you go to the website and click on the link.
Right. Now, correct me if I'm wrong, but I'm thinking R2-D2, when he's in his jet mode, doesn't have his third leg extended.
I believe that is the case. Because it goes up into his crotchal area when he's doing that kind of stuff. Yes, but from the look of the still, it's not. You know, he's not in rocket mode. He's in, oh my God, I can see my house from up here because I was just thrown up here mode.
Yeah, I'm guessing that I'm not sure what this is. This could be just a leftover of the animation. The one thing that they did stress in the amount of computer power and the amount of people they had work on this animation, the movie was fantastic. Where did this take place in the movie?
This looks as though it's Devastator. I think. No,
or is this
maybe.
When Prime is battling gets his jetpack and he's flying or something.
No, I don't know. I thought it might have been Devastator, but you see that little electrical arc over to the left-hand side. I thought I remembered that being, because they're in more like the ruins, like where it was just everything blowing up and a bunch of gray Decepticons getting killed. It was like the red shirt portion of the film.
Right.
I actually have only seen the movie once, so this is a little hard for me to discern exactly where it was. I mean, obviously it was during the climax, you know, the big battle in the desert.
Right, right.
But I don't know exactly where.
Well, if they really did put him in there for a little cameo, that's kind of cool. Otherwise, it's not really anything to write home about. But
yeah,
it does point out that there are fans out there that will go through this movie frame by frame looking for stuff, and that's pretty impressive. So, or sad.
I was going to say, there, my friend, is a fine line that one walks.
Yeah.
Between internet detective and anal retentive nerd. It's got too much time on their hands.
Yeah, but you know what? We need the nerds out there because, quite honestly, I don't have time to find this stuff. We need someone else to do the legwork for us. So
right, and people need to know about these things.
Yes.
Yeah, they do.
So, all right. Well, the next story is supposedly the original rumor was that Revenge of the Fallen sold 4 million copies on the first day. And the follow-up story is that, don't believe it, Revenge of the Fallen DVD only tallies 2 million. And we reported previously that Michael Bay has reported 4 million copies of Revenge of the Fallen, Blu-ray included, when there have actually been about half as that, according to Hollywood Reporters. Transformers Revenge of the Fallen sales on the first day of release were 2 million DVD Blu-ray discs. And he gives a quote saying, the real talk of the town was Paramount DreamWorks' Transformers Revenge of the Fallen, which arrived on store shelves October 20th and within 24 hours has sold 2 million discs according to industry sources. Giving the sell-through business down 13.9% for the year, a badly needed shot in the arm. The site MN Nelson cites the unconfirmed rumor. Still, 4 million versus 2 million is way off. Mr. Bay is known for pumping up the hype, but staying twice the amount is a bit extreme and is really uncalled for when the movie is already making a ton of money. It would seem he's never happy or humble. Then again, Hasbro is well known for trying to fake out the consumers. Maybe Bay is just taking a page from that book.
So this could be summed up by a clip from Public Enemy, you know, don't believe the hype.
I'm not familiar with that song, Jace. Why don't you give us a little flavor of it?
Oh, and how appropriate was that? Because it was indeed Flava Flav. That's that line.
Oh, that's funny.
You were just working on a whole different level there, and you didn't even know it.
No, I didn't even know that. I have no idea what Public Enemy is. I don't listen to modern day music, so.
Well, actually, Public Enemy is old rap, back when rap was actually, good. It's like, you've got Run DMC, and then you start getting into the gangster rap stuff, and you have Old Ice-T and Public Enemy and stuff like that, back when it actually, was decent. But, it's not a rap podcast. That's fine. But, yeah. You could just, Google, don't believe the hype, and I'm sure you'd get a lovely little sound bit for that.
And folks, Jace has just dated himself, so.
Whatever, yeah. I'm a child of the 80s. I told you, man, if I could live the rest of my life between 84 and 89, and it was on midnight on 89, it would just reset to 84, dude, man, I'd be having my parachute pants. I'd be having my Coca-Cola gear that made me look like a circus tent, my flock of seagulls hair color, and I'd just be sitting in my toy box full of Transformers.
I don't know, man. I don't know if I could take the Reagan years all over again, but that's a whole other story.
Oh, dude, Reagan years is a great time to be a kid.
Great time to be a kid, yeah. Suck to be an adult, but great time to be a kid.
Yeah.
All right, speaking of kids, why don't you tell us about Orsi Kurtzman?
Orsian Kurtzman, the Transformers 3 decision based mostly on lack of time.
Gasp.
So, and I got to tell you, that picture that we have on the thing there.
That's the most clean shaven there, right, they've ever been.
I was going to say, my God, the Orsi, is Orsi the one on the left?
No, Orsi's the one on the right. And actually, that's an old picture because they've gotten a little bit fatter since then.
Oh, okay. I was going to say, yeah, Kurtzman, that looks like his, sophomore high school,
Yeah, they've matured a little bit. So that's the first movie picture, so.
Yeah, but no, Orsi, I'm like, dude, you're not sporting the Seth Rogen 5-day growth, rolled out of bed, kind of hair thing that I've seen.
Oh, speaking of which, so one of the things that Michael Bay did was he locked them in a hotel room, all three writers. And they're just sitting there in this big bed, all comfy, writing on their laptops. And they're like, oh, yeah, we have to order room. Michael Bay comes in. He's like, do you want room service? Here, we'll order room service. And he has surprise inspections to see how they're writing. I'm like, oh, my God, what a surreal type of environment that would be. So,
dude, seriously, though, I used to do stuff like that with Jeff. He'd come over. We'd have when we'd be off school for a little while, he'd come over on Friday and not leave until Tuesday. And we'd just be in my room the whole time just playing Nintendo. It's like, oh, my God, the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle game came out. We're totally playing this. And we used to play Ghosts and Goblins because that was a really hard game on the NES. We slept in shifts trying because I remember one of the most horrible experiences of my video gaming childhood was finally I throw my last dagger at the evil big boss at the end and, you know, bam, he dies. And it's like, great. And then the programmers, you know, who definitely wanted children to cry in their sleep was like, oh no, this was just an illusion. And it throws you back to the beginning of the game. So you have to play the whole game again. Mm-hmm. And it's like, 30% harder. And we're like, and so yeah, we kept that damn machine on for 2.5 days and we slept in shifts. But you know what? We were stinky boys and we got it done. So I can totally appreciate, you know, three stinky boys sitting on a bed with their laptops getting it done.
Wow.
Yeah.
So back to the story. Now that
okay,
I'm clearly
yeah, anyway,
scared.
Here's a nugget of crunch. All right.
Okay.
Transformers Revenge of the Fallen screenwriters Roberto Orci and Alex Kurtzman, Stinky Boy 1 and Stinky Boy 2, stated that their reason for not returning to write Transformers 3 was due to time. Their lack of time and current dedication to Fox television series Fringe and upcoming Cowboys and Aliens, I've never even heard of that, has kept them from feeling comfortable with taking on the duties of writing another feature film. The duo tells IGN during the 2009 screenwriting expo. So this is some quotes now. The second one we didn't think we could responsibly do due to lack of time, and that's why we were so happy to team up with Aaron Kruger, who was amazing. This time, I think even teaming up with him, we wouldn't be able to give him what would be fair. So they also felt that they didn't have the best idea. The best idea should win, and they need an idea now. We don't have one right now. I mean, this is a relatively decently long interview. Did you want to read that?
No, actually, I mean, I think that sums it up really quickly. So if you want to read more of the interview, they do talk about, like, Mudflap and Skins, and they say, I think Michael Bay's spoken about this. His intentions certainly weren't to insult anybody or anything like that. When you get in with comedians and you're doing voiceovers and you're improvising.
Yeah.
And you're mixing and matching lives, you don't always see how it's going to turn out. So certainly there's no bad intention, I think, on anybody's part. So, yeah. And, of course, the DVD, it's the Michael Bay track versus their track. It's like, okay, obviously we don't want to get in a room with the guy because he made us look like a douche. But,
Yeah.
Anyhow, so that's all that could be said on that. So,
what's Transformers and Aliens? You ever heard of that?
No clue. Don't care.
Okay, I'll Google it.
I don't watch. There's such a drawn out. Everyone's tired of drama TV now. We've had like 6 seasons of Lost with no answers, and it's just sort of like everybody's like, all right, you know what? Let's go back to wrapping everything up every week television like we used to do.
So. You know what I miss? I miss the old TV schedules where it's like summer was a bunch of reruns because we want everybody outside doing things in the beautiful weather. And then when it's crappy in wintertime, you've got new episodes every week for like 16 to 24 weeks. I hate these like eight week abridged seasons. And it's like, come back next year for 8 more episodes of Lost. I'm like, oh, bite me.
Well, they actually, I think that at some point they realized that when they did Lost, they were going to do it in one full run and with no breaks because that was a major complaint of people.
So, well, I'm not even just talking that. I mean, a lot of series do that.
Yeah, I know. Well, that's how they keep you going, Jace. But anyhow, moving on to Transformers toy news. Tell us about Transformers being one of the brands that is still successful during the economic downturn.
Absolutely. So, you know that we're pretty much going through recession right now, which means a spending slowdown and consumers hogging money like you hog the best looking stick during grade school recess. Huh.
Okay.
I wonder where that person went to school.
That's Bweebum. We got to ask him.
Wow. Oh, yeah, Bweebum. Yeah, wow. That's all right. He's like, it's my stick, and this is my rock, and they're my friends. Okay.
All right. Moving on.
However, U.S. News and World Report has found 10 products that boomed during the market downturn, and the Transformers brand is one of them. And the statistics were taken from the end of 2007, when the recession officially began, until the most recently quarterly earnings. So during that time, Hasbro has been riding the coattails of the two successful Transformers films and a pile of cash from the licensing deals. And then other brands include brands that help consumers deal with eating and staying in the home more, including Tupperware and Universal remotes. That's funny.
Well, you know, at least you know, if anything, if the economy goes to crap, you can still play with your Transformers.
Absolutely. We'll have fresh bananas because we're in our little green Tupperware things and Optimus Prime. And
Tupperware parties were from the 80s, too. How ironic.
Don't you think?
I remember Tupperware parties and Transformers and all. God, that's all right. I'm having too many flashbacks for one.
Now we have, what is it, candle parties and naughty bit parties, I think, are the big parties these days.
Yeah, yeah. Well, what are you going to do, though? It's hard to get – well, you know, that was – I don't know. I think that was the equivalent of the guy's poker night back in the day. You know, women, that would be a chance for them to get together and just, you know, sort of talk, you know, for a reason to come over to somebody's house, you know, I don't know. Now we have people coming over for podcasts. It's like, that's my car night, Mom. It's where all my friends get together and we record comedy. And she just looks at me like, sure, dear.
I gave birth to you? What the hell are you? Oh my God.
It's funny. Oh, shit, it's funny, though. She did say, so your Uncle Jib, you know, he found your Transformers podcast, and then he found your other podcast, and he said he could only stay with it for a short time, and he told me not to listen.
Like, the podcast that I listened to first was wholesome and good. Yes, but I think I'm going to hell now, and I'll probably see you there, too.
Yeah, pretty much. It's like, Mom, I'm just like, Mom, don't listen to the other podcasts. Transform, if you want to listen to the Transformers, what? It's clean and wholesome. So,
in a manner.
Yeah, so she still just shakes her head. She goes, okay, whatever makes them happy. I'm like, yeah, oh, go listen to your Clay Aiken CDs, Mom.
Yeah.
Anyhow, so moving on to Transformers Generation 2009 volume Skids and Screech Details. Oh boy. Justin from Million Publishing is updating the latest exclusive figures that will be offered as part of a sales campaigning for the Transformers Generation 2009 volume 3. This release will include two distinct repaints of Generation 1 Skids mold and offered as a character figures Skidge and Screech Quantum Operative versions. The new images show the detailing of both the figures with shots of the full robot modes, giving us a good look at the different head sculpts. Also visible are some changes, such as Screech's head has been changed from orange to gray, as well as some paint changes from the previously reported images. So this is Skids redecoed, I think would be the term, with new colors and a new head mold and the extra motorcycle, which you can pop into his back, I believe.
And yeah, I mean, they don't look bad. I mean, I'm not a fan of the green that they chose for him. It's a little too, I don't know, it's like, to me, again, you know, that's more like a hot rod, you know, like, you know, oh, I've tricked out my Honda Civic and, you know, I'm just this color, and it just, I don't know, I just don't feel that it works on this car, which is so clearly not a hot rod tricked out street machine. I don't know, it's just, it's too bright.
Well, the general consensus from the fans is that, first of all, we never really liked this mold to begin with.
Yeah.
It's like, you, all right, we're trying to do Skids and Mud Flap with the original, with those colors and the original toy, and it's just not working.
It's kind of like your buddy just got, like, the Mirage toy. He's like, I got a race car! And you're like, I got this dude that transforms into a Pinto.
I got this one that transforms into the wooden station wagon.
Yeah, exactly.
Seriously, what were they thinking making a car out of wood?
Oh, dude, man, if you take care of it, those old Woodies are actually – those are. That's what they were called. I'm not even, like, being, like, sexual innuendo.
I know. It's just a funny term. I'm sorry.
I mean, yeah, the stupid station wagons with the faux wood paneling were ridiculous, but the ones that actually had varnished wood on it was kind of cool.
Yeah.
I remember, dangerous and hard to upkeep, but cool.
I remember having one at some point. It was one that we my dad was selling for somebody, and it was, you know, it was, for some reason, I remember throwing sand onto the back of the windshield wiper and then spraying it off with the hose. I found that entertaining as a child.
Oh, nice. You actually, you as a child had a Woody?
Yeah, actually, we did for a short time.
Oh, very nice.
So, but it wasn't ours. He was selling it or something, so I can't remember this. I'll have to get back to you on that. So that's, God, we're going back to our, this is like therapy this week. What do you remember from your childhood? So anyhow, moving on to first looks, a remolded Recon Ironhide final version. And Jin Zhao of KL Toys has posted a handful of new images showing off what is being called the final version of Voyager Recon Ironhide action figure. The new images show the remolded figurehead up close with some pictures of the Recon compared side by side with the test version we previously saw. The new version figures... The new figure has changed quite a bit. The head is remolded and has a good bit more detail than before. It does resemble a bull, as Jin Zhao has described it, with the color change to be more brown and bronze tint than the former version we saw. The bronzing seems to have been extended to the weapon as well. You will notice a new yellow paint application on the chest. Wow, this looks very Decepticon-y for Ironhide.
Yeah, it's kind of funny that because of the last movie, it's just like, oh no, it's a black gray. It must be a Decepticon.
Yeah, it's like, this doesn't feel like Ironhide. It feels like evil Ironhide, you know?
Mirror Universe goatee version Ironhide.
Yeah, something like that. Or Shattered Glass would be from the BotCon thing.
But, oh, yeah.
I mean, it looks like, once again, the aesthetics with the movie toys sometimes work and sometimes don't work. I have the Ironhide toy, and I'm looking at this, and I don't know if it's the way they painted it, but he just looks way too shiny. It's like, it's almost like hard to make things out, because like, it's so much reflection coming off of so many detailed parts.
Well, and the fact that, yeah, it's pretty much just a black toy. I mean, from what I can make out, it looks fairly decent. I mean, I don't really have any major issues with it other than, you know, yeah. I mean, now if you're like, you transform into a stealth bomber or something that kind of makes sense, I don't know. But I'd like to see a little more depth of color and shading than what I'm seeing. I mean, it could be an image issue that we're dealing with here. But yeah, it's a little much kind of like an oil slick right now.
Going back to the DVD real quick, one of the things that they said is that when they first did the movie, they sort of, Michael Bay just sort of created all these characters and then said, okay, Hasbro, now figure out how they transform. And this time they at least had a little bit of more of input on what was going on. So they could really refine the toys as needed. So the toys, you know, were more in tune with what the movie, and it wasn't, you know, they weren't stumbling to get things together at the last minute. So, but yeah, I mean, it looks all right. Nothing I'm too worried about picking up. But it is interesting to see the comparison with the I guess, test model and the finished product, how far things come along. So,
but. Right on.
All right, next story, Jace.
All right, we have the...
You'll be excited about this.
Yes, the animated Cybertronian Ratchet, RC, releasing in spring 2010. To add to the anticipated release of Transformers animated Electrostatic Soundwave and Freeway Jazz in November of this year, it appears that we now have more release dates about a couple other figures from the now defunct little tier series. According to an answer provided by Hasbro to Raving Toy Maniac's question, that was a question and answer session, they have revealed that Cybertronian Ratchet and RC will be releasing in spring 2010. So we are pleased to announce that we're going to be, okay, pretty much states 2010. So excellent.
Yes. So this will be your Christmas present for 2010.
So that is, I'm very much looking forward to that. I also definitely want to pick up the Freeway Jazz, which I think looks excellent as well. But it'll just be so nice to finally have a legit RC figure, you know, finally.
What was the art thing you wanted last week that I was supposed to write down for your Christmas gift?
A new computer?
Well, no, besides that, it was Transformers-wise.
I don't remember. My brain's like a sieve these days, man.
And new computers are cheap. I mean, if you want to, the new Mac Minis are actually something you should look into. They're pretty powerful.
Dude, I have two women and a Coke habit to support.
The Coke habit being the not true part of that statement, folks.
So, you know, money's a little tighter, you know, when my nose has got to be whiter.
Oh, God, we're rapid, just like the 1980s, too.
Oh, yeah, no. So, I'm actually going to get the new computer. That's beside the point. But, anyway, yay for RC.
Yay, RC. We're quite happy that they're actually – it's nice that they're actually sort of just sliding the rest of the animated line underneath the, all right, we'll get these to you just before the new cartoon comes along, so.
Yeah, but at least we're getting them, you know? It could be like, the series is done and the kids have probably already forgotten about it. But so it's like, to me, these are a couple ones because, I mean, kids are fickle. They're moving on to other things. I mean, I'm sure that there's obviously still going to be some that you know, still enjoy it, but they'll be on to the next thing. So I think a lot of this is fan service, and I appreciate that, especially with RC, because finally maybe one of the suits is like, yeah, this character's kind of been around for 23 years or something like that, so yeah, we should probably make a figure of that eventually.
Yeah, if anything, the female fans will buy her. They'll be like, yay, finally a version of RC. So
and oh my god, it's pink.
Yeah, oh my god, it's pink. Oh my god, oh my god, oh my god, oh my god.
I totally need to buy it because I'm a girl and I like pink.
Exactly.
Whatever, come on.
Oh, we're just pushing the stereotypes as usual. Okay, so the next story is basically, we already talked about this upcoming 2010 Revenge of the Fallen figures, and really quick to summarize, Transformers movie Legend figures, Stealth Bumblebee, Power Armor Optimus Prime, Blue Steel Sideswipe, Jolt, and RC, Transformers movie Deluxe AF Assist. His assortment includes Alliance Bumblebee, Lockdown, Strike Mission, Sideswipe, Ratchet, and Brawn. Transformers movie Voyager, Mindwipe, and Defender Optimus Prime. Transformers movie Leader, Optimus Primer, Shadow Command, Megatron. Mighty Mugs, Optimus Prime, Bumblebee, Shockwave, and Jazz. Transformers Optimus Prime Bank. Ooh, a Diamond Select release featuring the transforming Autobot that started all the new line of Transformer bus banks continues with none other than Optimus Prime, sculpted by Art Asylum and measuring over 7 inches tall, recreate the classic look and feel of Generation 1 anime scenes. Prepare your Matrix leadership and get ready to roll out. So those toys are coming your way soon, folks.
So wait, it's an actual like a coin bank?
I believe so. Now, I think there was just something about a bus that came out today as well. Here we go. Optimus Prime Bus Bank from Diamond Select Toys. And I'll send you the link here, Jace. If I can find your window. There we go. A Diamond Select release featuring the Transforming Autobot. Oh, it's the same thing. So it looks pretty good for if that's a bank. That's a really cool bank. I wish I had as a kid.
Yeah, it's not bad.
Yeah.
I was wondering if he was going to like say something, you know, like, thank you for depositing your own version of Energon into my skull. Or something like that. But it doesn't. It looks like he's just a resin bank. Remember those banks you had when you were a kid? At least when I was a kid, I'm dating myself again. Like it would like you would deposit one coin at a time and you'd set it in this particular little space and you'd hit a button and like this skeletal hand would come out amidst grinding gears. Like,
yeah.
Coin back, yeah.
Or those ones where they just have a bunch of gears that roll around. It would roll down a bunch of things and whatnot. It was, you know, there were some cool banks. Now you just have money counters.
Well, what was funny about those banks is that the amount of money you would spend on the batteries to operate those banks should be equal to what the bank could hold in money.
Exactly.
So really, you weren't making anything.
It was more of an entertainment toy than anything.
Yeah, it's like 60 batteries for 6 hours of play. That's awesome.
Oh, they were geniuses in marketing. So
yep.
Let's just make this video game with 125 levels, but after the 125th level, it keeps rotating. Ooh.
Oh, yeah, and it's twice as hard because your princess is in another castle and JR's not really dead because it was a dweeb. Oh.
JR was wow, we're going back to the 80s. This should be labeled the 80s episode.
Dude, I told you I love the 80s.
Yeah.
Welcome
I was more of a Dynasty man as opposed to Dallas, you know.
I never watched it, but I remember there being this big hubbub over what was JR, somebody getting run over by a car and dying on that show or something.
JR was shot, but not really.
Yeah, I was more of the Knight Rider. I remember watching Knight Rider.
Oh yeah, and I've mentioned it before. There were few things then and since that match the power of the Saturday night doubleheader of Love Boat and Fantasy Island.
Yeah, and then you had, or if you wanted the comedic thing, which you could actually watch with your grandparents, you could watch Golden Girls and Empty Nest.
Oh, I suppose. I never really had grandparents. So.
Okay, everybody. Send your love and adornment to Z-Piper at tformers.com.
Your grandparents to Z-Piper.
All right, moving on. God, way to crash the party, Jace. Upcoming 2010. Oh, we already went over that. Figure King magazine number 141 reveals EZ collection details. Non-grandparity person, could you read this, please?
Thanks to, I don't know if it's Snackas or Snakas. I like Snackas better. So thanks to Snackas, who's posted news, the Japanese collectible magazine Figure King magazine number .141 reveals the robot behind the mask. As previously reported from Figure King number .140, there is a mystery EZ Collection Legends class figure coming out in Japan only. The preview showed a silhouette of a Constructicon-like team, and it should be no big surprise they are the Desert Attack team that will be offered as a Toys R Japan exclusive. The figure is a red movie-accurate repaint of the EX Collection Rampage action figure and is limited to 4,000 pieces. So the EZ Collection Volume 2 is shown with all eight new figures listed in the image. Optimus Megatron Damage version, which has been widely published as in mock-up colors. There's a DVD and Blu-ray exclusive items from the pending release. There's updates and information about the device label accessories, such as Taiga Toron and other device label accessories. I really don't know what that means, but I'm sure most of you do. Encore 19 is shown with the latest cassette team featuring Rumble, Frenzy, Laserbeak, and Overkill. Okay, well, that's a lot of info.
Yay, a silhouette of a very tiny Transformer.
There you go. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, moving on to...
Yeah, so that's exclusive to Japan, so for all of you importers, there you go.
Yeah, not really. I'm not thrilled, so. All right, but we have to report it because we want to make sure you have all the news and views of Transformers. So, speaking of which, first looks at Transformers Collectors Club Punch Counter Punch with all new head. Woohoo! So, Justin, is news from the Transformers Collectors Club showing us our first look at the Pouch Counterpunch with an all-new head sculpture. The new action figure is a remake from the Transformers Universe mold that was used for Sunstreaker and Sideswipe Deluxe action figures. Pouch Counterpunch next week will be showing a full preview of the head turnaround for our next club exclusive figure. Pouch Counterpunch, however... Yes, okay, all right. Pouch Counterpunch. However, if you are a current club member, be sure to log on to the members only page for exclusive first look at the design. TFC members can log into the private forums and see more details of the exclusive figure. The rest of the world will have to wait a week to see it. Aw. If you can see the figure, please share your opinions about it. So next week we'll tell you about how great this toy is. And this is basically the Sideswipe Sunstreaker mold. That basically was one mold, but they sort of, you could turn around and make it, you know, either character Sideswipe by a different head sculpt. And so what they decided to do is take that same sort of design and make it the Double Spy Punch Counterpunch, because the aesthetics for that fit itself very well to making it a Double Spy. So this will be pretty cool to see when it's finally done.
Right on.
So, of course, you have to be a Transformers Collectors Club member, I believe, to get the toy. So, if you enjoy getting Transformers information in a magazine format and very discreet access to awesome toys, go join the Transformers Collectors Club. Also gives you a discount at BotCon as well. So, all right, moving on. This is kind of cool. This is actually turning out pretty cool. First looks at Takara device label Tigatron Ravage USB desktop app. And it looks like we're pretty sure that these things are going to be, the USB sticks are coming out. But what's really cool is you actually install the software on your computer and you have animated characters of Tigatron and Ravage on your screen. And you can have them like do crazy things like transform, eat icons, jump, roar. It's actually looks like it's a pretty decently designed piece of software. So
now, are these the... This is the software version? Because, like, if is this the USB sticks that we reported on, like, two or 3 months ago?
Yeah, you put the USB sticks in, and their actual components on the desktop are the actual characters that run around, I believe.
Well, now, I'd be curious, because the whole purpose of the USB, you know, sticks and drives is portability. So the software, you know, running around animated Ravage, I'm assuming that's just, you know, fluff. It's nice. It's cool.
Yeah.
But if you need to take the drive with you, you don't have to install
No, you don't. I would imagine you don't need to. But, well, you know what? Let's go and read the story here, because I'm sure this will cover. We've already posted some images of Tomy Takara's device label, Tigatron Ravage, 2 gigabyte USB flash drives, but we haven't seen much on the actual software that comes with. However, we have some screen caps to show you today. Each flash drive comes carrying the Transformers Desktop Defender software by Toshiba, which is pretty much a digital desktop toy of Ravage or Tigatron. The software can be set to use either the Prowls or can be set to use either. That prowls around your Windows desktop. The app runs from your taskbar once you set up, and you have to change the options to have it all start when you insert the device label into your PC. Other options are to have the character roar, no sound, eat, icon, picture, jump, or transform. You can adjust how frisky or fast the character is as it jumps around the desktop and eats, and each has its own abbreviated bio and tech specs. The characters' animations are crisp and entertaining and have a nice added value to these drives. And you can pick them up for about $35, pricey perhaps for 2 gig flash drives, but the desktop toy is a nice and unexpected addition. So
it doesn't really answer that question, but I would imagine that it's just a standard drive that comes prepackaged with some software.
No, what you do is you plug the drive in, and on the drive is a auto start this software that probably starts this software for it. So you don't have to run it. The drive is on the desktop, but when you put it in, it automatically will load the software for you.
Right, but my point was, if you're traveling, some computers do not allow new software, like, say, hotel computers.
Oh, yeah.
So you can just use it as a flash drive, and it's not mandatory to have a Ravage running around to access your
Exactly. The flash drive is still on there. So, but see, I mean, looking at the graphics, this is kind of cool. I wish we had this like a couple years ago.
Yeah, I mean, it looks entertaining. I mean, and really, $35. Well, it is only 2 gigabyte. I was gonna say, because, you know, some of the thumb drives, you know, aren't that much less than that. But, you know, for what you get, it looks pretty cool.
Yeah, I mean, it's something where if I had a little extra dough, I would plop down for $35 just to say, let me pull out Ravage, eject and insert, and people just
that sounds. Dirty.
And people would just sort of look at me weird as they usually do at the office and go, he's so weird.
Especially if you got it like, you know, voice recognition. That would be so. It's like, Ravage, eject and insert. Eject and insert. Insert. What are you doing?
And they're just like, and people just walk away, just, you know, not losing eye contact, just walk away slowly.
Yeah. Or you can use your favorite thing as you're sitting there, like reading forums and, you know, drinking your Mountain Dew Code Red. They're like, dude, are you doing any work? Yeah, I'm totally compiling data. It takes like an hour and I can't do anything because it's compiling.
That's the number one excuse, actually, that they do. It's like, why are you wasting time? Oh, it's compiling.
Well, that's what whenever you would, and I put air quotes here, work from home, and I'd come down and you'd be sitting there sipping your Diet Coke and your boxer shorts, just browsing the internet. I'm like, so you're working, huh? No, dude, I'm compiling. I'm totally working.
No. I actually do spend a good amount of time and I actually do multitask fairly well. So when you have five things going at once on your desktop and there's like, you know, you're like, okay, this is just going to take 5 minutes. It's like, well, what am I going to do with this 5 minutes while I wait for these five applications to all finish. So,
yeah, it's totally, it's compiling. I get it. I'm on board.
All right, thanks. Hopefully nobody from my office is listening to this.
Oh, I don't think we have to worry about that.
All right, so.
But I understand they're all like, you know, I'm not going
to
say it.
Well,
anyway.
You know, it's one of those things that there is a little bit, to go off on a tangent, there is something called, I can't remember the term for it, but since more people do stuff at home for work, you should be allowed a little, you know, break here and there while you're at work, because if you're balancing your work time at home, then you're not going to be able to go full tilt. I mean, I can't go full tilt at the office sometimes. Sometimes you just have to get up and walk around because it's so annoying to be at a computer sometimes for 4 hours at a time. And if you come to a breaking point, it's like, well, let's see, I have 15 minutes before lunch. I can either take lunch early or start on something, stop in the middle of it. You just, you know, as long as you're getting the work done, I've always been of the mind that you should be able to adjust your time as whatever is needed. So,
totally. You can compile whenever you want.
You're missing the point. Anyhow, so actually you got the point. You're taking you're making me, the humor is making me look bad. No.
I'm just being a jerk.
Yes, exactly. That's what I was trying to say. All right. So moving on to cartoon news, Transformers returning in 2010.
So Hasbro's CEO Brian Goldner today, during a company earnings conference call, made hint to the possibility that G.I. Joe and Transformers and, oh God,
My Little Pony!
My Little Pony could be returning to television in 2010.
Apocalypse Pony!
Death!
Thank you, Apocalypse Pony!
Goldner stated that they plan to have television support for these three properties, along with Star Wars: The Clone Wars, which, again, I say, you know, if Anakin and Ahsoka aren't in there, is a quality show, and a number of Marvel-related projects. Well, with their track record on those could either be complete awesome sauce or total suckage. there's very little in between with the Marvel stuff that I've, in my opinion. Anyway, they plan to reveal more details about these projects at their Hasbro Investor Day. So, you know, I'm very pleased. I'm hoping, you know, I never got full tallies on how well the G.I. Joe movie did, but I hope it did well enough that we would see more of that, because I did. I actually really enjoyed that. You know, and like, I'd like to see them return to TV, like, you know, a nice little, maybe a little more edgier, you know, more adult kind of a cartoon would be good. Transformers, as long as, you know, it's not, and I know I'm going to catch hell for this, but as long as it's not like the Beast Wars animation type stuff, I really just don't like
no,
that.
No, I think they're definitely sticking with, at least they would be stupid. I'm guessing they're going to do a tie-in with the movie, with the cartoon show.
Yeah, I mean, they don't, I mean, if they're really trying to consolidate into the one universe slash look, you know, I could see that. And, right. You know, I'm just going to have to contain my excitement about My Little Pony.
Well, you know, My Little Pony was a good cartoon show compared to what the rest of the crap these kids see today. You know, there's very few stuff that isn't ADD, and, you know, I don't know. It could be just because we're old, but even the stuff that was aimed for kids was the least palatable for the adults back then.
So. Oh, yeah, and don't get me wrong. Now, I'm not 100% up on all of what the current state of the television kids cartoon fare is, but I think we actually do need another series that's a little more geared towards girls.
Yeah.
Because I don't really think there – I mean, I don't really follow Nicktoons or what Disney's doing these days, because I do find most of that stuff vapid at my current, you know, mental level. Yeah. But – I do think that the My Little Pony was actually a pretty solid property back in the day. I have to at least give it that.
Yeah.
And, although it was kind of weird seeing some of my, like, friends that were girls walking around with little plastic ponies sniffing their butt. Remember, they used to be scented and they had, like, their really long tails and they're like, "It smells so good." Dude, you're totally sniffing a toy's butt. Okay, but
I never thought of that. That's weird. Yeah, I never really thought of that.
They'd comb it all the time, you know, because that would like activate the scent a little more. So there was some weird behavior that was around My Little Pony. But hey, you know, we're kids. I used to eat bugs and dirt, so whatever.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's the thing, is that you have to make good quality entertaining stuff for kids, and that ranges from, you know, good quality stuff like SpongeBob to Bobo Bobo, who fights characters with his nose hairs. And it's just
Bobo,
like,
oh, Bobo Bobo.
Yeah, whatever the piece of crap cartoon. Anyhow, so that's
that was
good.
Japanese, dude. I mean, so that's a whole different, you know, thing.
Yeah, yeah. I need, you know, we need to get a we need to get some people from Japan on the show and ask them, seriously, what is up with your cartoons?
I love Japanese culture, but they are totally the kings of weird, man.
They are, you know. Well, I will give them that Princess Mononoke was an amazing cartoon.
Well, right, but that was done by the I forget the guy's name, but like he's their equivalent of like Disney, like, yeah. You know, Walt back in the day when it's like, you know, he just oozed quality.
Oh, did you see a quick side test? Did you see a Family Guy done in Disney?
No.
Oh, you gotta look up we're done with the show. Look up Family Guy. Well, you probably won't have time, but later tonight, look up Multiverse and watch or catch on Hulu. You could probably get on Hulu. They so Stewie develops a little traveling device that goes from different dimensions, and one dimension is everything is drawn like Walt Disney. And everything's warm and cuddly and drawn very well, and they all talk about eating pie. And basically the joke, do you want to know what the joke
sure.
is? So the joke is like, everything's perfect here. I don't see why it could be bad. And then like the Jewish guy comes in, they're like, Jew! And they kill him. And they're like, oh yeah, it's a Disney verse. Hit the button.
Great.
But it's funny. It's all done really well and like drawn in Disney style. And then it's the best probably Family Guy episode I've seen to date. So go look that up when you get home tonight.
Even better than the one where Stewie and Brian go back in the time machine to save Mort yes. from Nazi Germany?
Yes, yes.
Oh, so. Dude, that episode just was put on my like Huervo Gold top shelf because of the Flash Gordon reference.
No, this
right?
is that same thing right here. So
nice.
So you are definitely going to want to see this one because it's like I watched it twice. It was so much fun. So.
Nice.
So, all right, moving on to and there's a Transformers appearance in there too. So, moving on to comics, tell us about Tales of the Fall number 3, Jace.
No quote-unquote Coattails of the Fallen this month. Issue 3 in the Tales of the Fallen series is a solid entry into the movie-verse fiction, possibly because it has the wrecking balls to step away from it. Okay. And this is by Ender. So Tales of the Fallen is Pig Latin for Movieverse Spotlight, and this month's focus is the Cantankerous Jetfire, now with character, not just caricature. All right, so you can check out his full review, which I'm sure is as well-written as that first little intro bite there. And, yeah.
He gives it 8 out of 10 stars, so he must have enjoyed it.
Well, good.
So
yeah, I'd love it if I could just like subscribe online, like, you know, $5-$10 a month so that I could read these things electronically, because I really do want to get into these.
Well,
just,
you know, that's the thing. In fact, I was listening to another podcast, and one of the problems is that the comic book industry hasn't discovered a way to do this like iTunes. Now, you can go on and download apps, which are basically you can view the comic books as apps on your iPhone. But the comic industry hasn't really developed a method of distribution, and what they do have is always old stuff.
Yeah.
Like, for example, like Marvel does something which basically allows you to download old Marvel, but they're old comics. And listening to the infamous Andy Inako, he was saying that this, of course, is the reason why you can go find a torrent and download all the comics of, you know, everything. If you know where two websites are, you can download all the comic stuff for free. It's because the industry hasn't developed a way. And I'm thinking at some point that's got to be in it. That's coming to iTunes. Comic books are going to be reborn in iTunes if they just, you know, jump on the bandwagon.
Yeah, because I'd be happy to pay a buck, you know, to read an issue. But the like $3, $4 that some comics are, that's just too much for me.
When you come to visit for your little project, I'll give you all my comics so you can read them, and then you can go. We can spend like an episode going over them. So,
oh, sweet.
So, and at some point, me and Ender 2 are going to do a Star Trek 5 commentary.
Ooh.
So if you want to join us for that, that'd be actually kind of fun. So
now, why 5?
Because we both like the movie.
Is that the only one of all of them that you both like?
We both love that movie. Me and Andrew are one of the few people that love that movie, and we discussed that because of that. We're going to do like a review of it and talk about it, why it's a good movie, minus some, you know, terrible special effects. And then also we're going to do some commentary. So,
all right.
So then now that also begs the question, do you want to do a Transformers 2 commentary at some point?
Yeah, well, I'd be more than happy to do that. Again, if I'm able to get a couple days off in a row and as I come down for the aforementioned project, have to state to our listeners is nothing pornographic or terrible.
You know, they're like, why would they think that?
Yeah, what would he be talking about? Yeah, no, but you know, we could, you know, even do it like at that point too.
Oh, that'd be fun. Well, let's see. How could we do that with – and all right, we'll figure it out. So
figure it out.
Yeah, all right. Okay, so the next one, I'm sure Ender will be on next week. He's out of the week. He's out of town for this week. He'll talk more about that. But Simon Furman talks Transformers Nefarious. That's the dumbest name ever. Number one comic, Nefarious. Simon Furman, okay, you read this, Jace.
Okay. Simon Furman has updated his blog with some insights and tidbits on the new Transformers comic 6-issue miniseries, Transformers Nefarious. Having just wrapped up the story for issue 1, which is described as a, quote, direct sequel to Revenge of the Fallen. So it's set in the movieverse. The news of the Transformers Nefarious was originally reported at the San Diego Comic-Con this year, so not a lot is known yet. Furman is trying to keep it spoiler-free, but he's got more than meets the eye in his blog, so don't read it if you don't want to know too much. And there's a big excerpt from his blog, if we want to read that.
Yeah, if you would, please.
All right. So it might be a spoiler here, so just get ready. Been a while since I did one of these postscript digressions, so here goes. With issue 1 of the upcoming Transformers Nefarious miniseries from IDW, yes, direct sequel, okay. My aim is to keep this as spoiler-free as possible, but if you'd rather not even be teased, look away now. Strictly speaking, Nefarious begins in Tales of the Fallen 5, which features the mysterious resurrection of Ravage and his even more mysterious mission. But even if you don't catch that one, issue number 1 rolls full tilt into a global conspiracy of which even the Autobots and Decepticons have been blissfully oblivious. Until now. Featuring Soundwave, Bumblebee, Optimus, Ironhide, Sideswipe, Alice, yes, Alice, a quartet of Autobot toy characters making their Earth-based debut, and even 4 all-new original Decepticons. And he quotes, "You didn't think Ravage was Soundwave's only special agent, did you?" The first issue peels back some of the layers surrounding the mysterious human organization known as the Initiative and the potentially Earth-shattering the potentially earth-shattering Project Nefarious. Just how far and wide its reach extends into the warp and weft of recent Cybertronian history and how much it's about to influence their future too will force Soundwave and then Optimus Prime into truly desperate measures and a clash or two as well. As they learn who's really in charge of their destiny. Dun-dun-dun. Okay. And it's not them. Ooh. So issue 1 promises lots of intrigue, action, shocks, and a final page that'll leave you scraping your lower jaw off the floor. Don't miss that one.
Wow, now, Jace, you should just read the comic.
I'm curious, like, okay, the mysterious resurrection of Ravage. Now, again, if I remember right, wasn't he literally ripped apart body and soul into things like no bigger than like a 3/4-inch Pinckney flange?
His spine was ripped out from him. But, you know, they're Transformers, and they could just be rebuilt whenever needed.
Yeah, but we needed magical fairy dust to get Optimus back.
No, Frenzy was able to remake himself once he found the cube, so... I don't know either. I've given up trying to understand the physics of it. If it's a good story, it's a good story.
So, right on.
So, okay.
So there you go.
So look for that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Good stuff.
It's good stuff. Yeah. Late breaking news. First looks at Revenge of the Fallen Easy Collection Desert Attack Rampage figure. And following up our other news report from yesterday. Easy Collection Red Desert Attack Ravage, blah, blah, blah. The hub toy around the toy. Fans will feel like they just got wedgy with what's going on. 3-inch Legends class action figure. This also shows the Optimus Prime damaged version figure as the new darker blue coloring. Okay, so basically it's a red version of Rampage. Once again, these are the easy figures, which I believe are the ones that actually do form Devastator, which are the only transforming ones in the individual characters. So, okay, so maybe that wasn't really big news after all. So, all right, well, that wraps up for this week, folks. So we will be back once again next week, and Ender shall hopefully be back, and we'll see who else we can gather up.
But it was nice just being a nice intimate dinner for two between you and I this
week. We need to get back to our roots for now and then, but it's not bad going out to dinner with multiple people as well.
Oh, no, absolutely not. But, you know, occasionally, you know, I need to re-up my bromance with you.
Oh, thanks. All right, with that being said, this is iHeart 1975.
And Zip Piper.
Have a good one, folks.
Whoa, nice headers. You've got a high-rise double-pump carburetor. That's pretty impressive, Sam.
Double-pump?
It squirts the fuel in so you can go faster.
Oh. I like to go fast.
TForms.com podcast is copyright 2009 TForms.com. Special thanks to the Cleveland band Gravity for use of their music. Go check them out. MySpace.com/Gravity33. Check out our forums and leave your feedback or send us an email at podcast@TForms.com. This has been an E&I production, all rights reserved.